My first love was my first high school boyfriend. He was a Scorpio and is like, I have to, when I look back on it, we had the most fun, but he was the prototype for literally, except for my husband, every man probably that I've ever dated.
Ooh.
Mm, that is not good.
Practical conversations about real life experiences with human design woven throughout, just like a tapestry of our human experience, but threaded in a new language. Featuring projector AC Brown, generator Rachel Lieberman, manifesting generator Jasmine Kenna, and me, your manifester, Vanessa Henry.
You, me,
we're in this together.
Let's listen to each other.
You're listening to Each Other, a human design centered podcast featuring an ensemble of energy types.
We're talking about one of my favorite subjects today, love, but particularly what we've learned through love and some of the lessons of love. So I got to throw this immediately to our resident vessel of love, the Rachel Lieberman. Rachel, I'm dying to know, I'm living to know, excuse me, who was your first love and like, what's the story there?
Mm.
And do you know their design type by chance?
Yeah, my first romantic love, obviously there's not just romantic loves, was someone that I never dated. I never actually kissed this person, but I just fell in love with them. And I learned a lot about love through the next few years of knowing them.
I too have fallen in love with people that I was never romantic with.
Yeah.
You know, is this a September baby thing?
Is it a Libra thing?
That's called limerence. Yeah, my friends.
Well, yes and no. Like, I think there were some aspects of that, but I knew this person. I mean, we were friends. We worked together. So I did have like a very deep love for him that felt very pure and innocent. But there was also some delusion.
I didn't know that I loved certain people until I was older and then was like in love with someone and then like kind of looked back and was like, wow, I loved that person just before getting to high school. So like grade 7, grade 8, I don't know. My best friend was a Leo and he was a Jehovah Witness. And I used to talk to him on MSN, like picking his brain about his religion and how does this work? Cause it was like nothing I had ever heard of really. And he was so gracious and like explaining things to me. And I like challenged him like a manifester would. I'm like, that sounds weird. And you know, and I would say all these things. I actually attracted a lot of boyfriends who were religious in some way or had a strong religion. I know. And I'm not religious, wasn't raised religious, would probably still identify as an atheist if I was asked. I don't subscribe to any of that kind of stuff. But a shores person in a six line, I was really drawn to people like that. And I can see with this person in my life, I absolutely had a love for him, but it never became anything. Like it never emerged into anything romantic. I would have loved it to, but I was like young and like, what do I know? I'm so scared of boys. You know, that was really me. And I think about him now and I'm like, I feel like he would be a generator. And then I kind of went through a string of boyfriends that I had and noticed they had this pattern of either they were very religious or they had a dead parent. I know. Here I am. My first boyfriend, actually, his mom passed away while we were together. And it was very intense for me. And then ultimately, that was what eroded our relationship. I wasn't able to be there for him in the way that he needed. And he ended up cheating on me. And I didn't really know how to handle that because can I get mad at him? Like, I don't know. And I'm still, my dad has recently passed away. I'm still dealing with all my grief. And even now into adulthood, even though this guy cheated on me, I still feel a bit of regret for how I handled that situation. Like, no way. Like I'm always like, man, if I had been with him now, I would have been able to be so much more there for him. But ultimately, he was a teacher to me in that, okay, I can't fucking deal with this. I don't know how to hold space for someone. I'm a shitty girlfriend. Like, you know, and I had to kind of learn that with him. But does anybody else have stories like this where you look back, you're like, well, I'm a shitty partner, or I'm a shitty girlfriend, or I don't know. AC's like, no, I'm fucking amazing.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah. Like probably every single one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm always like, well, I could have been way better.
I think that if you have ever had a bad relationship, which most of us have, I think you can look back in hindsight and say, oh, here's where I was fucking up. You know,
totally. Like,
there's no AC, seriously. That's hilarious. There's
AC
no
shaking
way.
Her head. AC,
she's like, I'm perfect.
No, I'm not perfect, but
you're a projector.
Pretty much. Like, I gave my all.
Well, whether or not you gave your all, that's not what I'm saying, because I mean, if we're just saying like who's a tryhard, like I'm out here doing it in my relationship.
Same here.
I'm
doing it.
I'm a lover girl. Like, I'm here for you. I've got it. But, you know, if you're not doing the stuff I want you to do or the way I want you to do it, like there could be some friction, you know, and also
I got an anger thing, right? Like I
got an anger thing too.
I had this one boyfriend.
I'm reactive.
I had this one boyfriend. He was really religious. He was Christian.
Yeah.
And we had sex.
What are you dating all these religious dudes for?
I know. I don't know. Weird, you guys. Bro. I met this guy in college too, but and he happened to be religious, and we had sex and he just couldn't get over it. Like, he felt so bad about it.
He felt bad about it?
He felt so bad about it. He couldn't get over it. So then I was wanting to have sex and he wasn't. And it created this, you know. And so I got really nasty to him. And I started insulting his religion, insulting his beliefs. And I was like, oh, because I wanted to get laid. And I was like, anyone.
I'm going
to
shame you into it, buddy.
I said this, and imagine this coming off an ego manifestor tongue. This is not how I feel now, but this is what I said to him. I was like, anybody who believes in God the way you do, I question their IQ and I think they're an idiot. I was sitting on the top of my car as I said this to him. He didn't dump me in that moment, by the way.
We should have.
I can't believe I said that. He years later contacted me and he was like, hey, I have kind of left my religious background.
Would you like to have sex?
I don't think I really believe in any of that anymore. And he was like, I see that how I treated you was really unfair, because sometimes he'd have a weak moment and we'd have sex and he'd sneak away
and then make you feel bad about it. Yeah, nothing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so weird.
He recognized that. I think he might be a projector though, but he recognized that. He did reach out to me.
I could see that. I could totally see that.
He reached out to me. He apologized. Like, there's no kind of ill will there. And he kind of seemed to really take responsibility. Like, I don't think I should have done that to you, but I really needed to go through what I needed to go through, you know? And so I still have a love for him, because anybody I've dated, I still have that feeling for them, because it's like you went through something with them. Or he was also the first person I slept with. So he was who I dated all of college. So he was a big deal for me. But my introduction into like sexuality was with him, and it sucked. You know what I mean? It was like he made it seem like I'm bad for, and I had a big sex drive. Like, as a third line, I was like, let's go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I was a baby six, I was like, I'm looking for my soulmate. I would like to have sex.
I would like
now.
To find
I didn't
my
sleep
soulmate.
With a lot of people, but I was like, I was very, very flirty. Like, hello, hello. But also scared and charming. You know what I mean? Like, I'll flirt with you, but if you touch me, I will run away. I'm terrified of you.
That's funny.
So anyways, he too was like a teacher of mine, but I appreciated that he came back after the fact, because not a lot of people in relationships will. And said, hey, I've kind of done some reflecting here and I don't think what I did to you was right. I really appreciated that.
Well, yeah, that's really nice.
Especially after how I talked to him.
Yeah.
Like, woo.
Well, I'm waiting for those days for someone to come back and say, by the way, Jasmine, I was very mean to you. My first love was my first high school boyfriend. He was a Scorpio and is like, I have to, when I look back on it, we had the most fun. But he was the prototype for literally, except for my husband, every man probably that I've ever dated.
Ooh.
Mm. That is not good to have. Like, I mean, I dated him when I was between like 14 and 16 years old. And he was just so cute, little soccer player, adorable, and just a scoundrel, though. Just a scallywag scoundrel, bad boyfriend, always cheating on me. Cheat on me on Thursday, and then I'd break up with them for Friday.
And then y'all back together on Monday.
Lord. Yeah, but I'd say like, okay, fine. Like, I'm going to go make out with somebody else. Mm-hmm. Oh, always. That's my move. I'm like, sounds good, bro. See you at the party on Saturday. Not talking to you. Making out with someone else, you know? Mm. And then by Monday, he'd be like, okay, well, maybe we could work this out. Like, yeah, maybe we can.
Could you imagine being a fly on the wall watching Jasmine Kenna as a teenager? Oh my God.
I don't want to be a part of it.
I was a good time.
I don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah. But what I learned, if we're talking about lessons, is, and I'm just now learning this now in therapy, I should have had some boundaries. I should have said, no, thank you, sir. That's not going to fly with me. Do not cheat on me. And I'm done with this. And instead, I just got competitive. I just let my little ego like get the best of everything. And I was like, I'm going to chest bump you and I'm probably going to make out with more people than you do. So
turn into a competition.
Always.
I do think some of our greatest teachers are our romantic partners.
Agreed.
You know, like some of the emotions a breakup can make you go through. You know, like, whew, and like things you have to excavate in yourself and shit. Like it can be a lot. AC, what are some lessons on love? I think your first love was maybe a manifester or something.
Yeah, I found that out. So
an impact on you.
Especially sexually.
Right.
I don't know what his profile is because I don't have his birth time, but just looking at the birth date, it remained manifester throughout the whole day. I would say the impact sexually was very, very great going forward for me. And I had two major relationships that were manifestors.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And this actually, no, I had three. I had three major.
I would love to have sex with another manifester. I would like to see what that's all about. I realize that's not on the table for me anymore, but I feel like it would be cool. Like, what would happen there?
Three major relationships were manifestors. One was a narcissist, like legit. The other one had narcissistic tendencies.
Ooh.
And then the first, he wasn't like that. My first wasn't like that. Like I said, sexually, I learned a lot from him. But same thing with Jasmine, with the boundaries of, like I said, I had given up my virginity and then he broke up with me like 2 weeks later because he wanted to date someone. But Jasmine talking about setting the tone, I always respected people regardless of how you leave a relationship. For me, has always been a very clear indication of your character and your integrity. And when you leave a relationship with me, depending on how it goes, I lose whatever respect I have left for you. But with him being so young, being in high school, and him breaking up with me and then going to date someone else, but then we got back together, there was a part of me that, of course, you know, having my mom be my, that I think too, during that time, my mother's approach to mothering was very, very horrible for me when it comes to relationships. I don't share anything about my romantic relationships with my mom. I've never have, because she, you know, we have our own issues and stuff like that. But it was very hard for me to be a very sensitive individual, very emotional person, and not have someone kind of hold you in and let you be a teenager who is going to experience love and emotions and cry over a boy and things like that. My mom approached it from a very hurt place from her. And so anytime I cried over a boy or was upset, I was stupid. Don't let you know what I mean? So I didn't have.
That's new information to me. And I'm psychoanalyzing the shit out of you right now. I just don't want to let you know that. Well,
that's fine. It explains a lot because you know my business, right? So I didn't have community around love. So I had to figure out that on my own
You have a totally open G center.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out. So if your starting point and your initial environment is a lack of support in adventuring through love, exploring those emotions, that's going to have a major effect on you. Yeah.
Everything, being in love, relationships, you know, feeling safe with men, leaning towards men who could lead me, because that was always considered weak. Like, don't be stupid. Don't be, you know what I mean? Like,
so a lot of rules.
You know, don't cry over them. Like, I wasn't like, even in my, with my first, with him, and we would break up and get back together, I didn't have the environment to grieve and to be held and to be like, you're amazing, even though he doesn't want to be with you, or you're amazing because, you know, or you'll do better. It was like, oh, you crying over him, you stupid. Don't buy him no Christmas gifts. You don't buy men, like, all of these things. And so that really, I would say, tainted my experience in the love department. I feel like I would have been able to have a lot more freeing relationships as I got older. I would have been able to be more of myself in relationships. And so for a long time in love relationships, I hid who I truly was. I tried not to cry. I tried not to be emotional. I'm a Pisces. I'm a Pisces sun, Mars, and Venus.
You're going to cry.
I'm a cry.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even have to do about them hurt. That's just my release, you know? Mm-hmm. So I would say with my first, I would have had a better experience in all my relationships. I would have had a better experience navigating them if I had more support.
You were emotionally supported.
If I was emotionally supported.
Thank you for sharing that. That's a very illuminating aspect to your character, AC. I want to ask everyone this. Do you feel you can stay friends after a breakup?
Absolutely not.
Immediate reaction.
Well, let me say this. Friends. So here's my theory on it. And people have said this. If you do remain friends, there's either one or two things. Either you're still in love or you were never in love, which is not completely true. I would say only one ex, and we're not like besties, but we're acquaintances. Like, he'll call me or something like that, just randomly or something. I do think that there's a place, but that goes back for me back to how we ended things. So if you disrespected me and you didn't have care and kindness for me in the breakup, we can't be friends. Go kick rocks. Fuck you. Like, okay, there's no reason for us to be friends, for me to wish you well, nothing. I don't want to pray for you, nothing. Like, bye. You know what I mean? So
yeah. JK, Jasmine Kenna, what do you think?
You know, I think it depends on the human, because I have nice relationships with most of my exes. I mean, my ex-husband and I are pretty pally when we go through our weird, like, ups and downs or whatever, but overwhelmingly, I think
it's pretty normal.
Like, yeah, it's pretty typical. Like, that's just like normal stuff. And I only have one ex that, I can't. It's a no-fly zone.
And why can't you in that? Why is that one a no-fly zone?
There's like,
because we know why. She can't.
Let's let her say.
Well, I mean, because we are like, we're either fighting or fucking, you know what I mean? Like, there's no
still in love or never in love.
Right. And I would argue that maybe we were never in love, or just like this weird toxic situation. Like, and it boiled.
Just
like,
be an attachment. You were wound mates instead of soulmates. Yeah.
Wound mates. That's a crazy pair of words. Wow.
No, I don't want to do it. And I'm going to tell you, I do pray for that fool every day. Like, I do. I'm like, you need it. I'm going to pray for you, because I'm going to pray that there is a world, if all of realities have already been created, there is one where we can coexist on a 2x4 mile island and just live very nicely without any type of nonsense. So that is my deep prayer for his healing and health.
You are just a perfect example of the 2-4, I feel like, with these stories, you know, and how the 2-4 bonds to people. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like that. I'm a one. I'm like a, when I'm with a person, I'm like, I ain't that
shy or bold.
Yeah, yeah. And like, if when you're my person, you're my person. And so that's a very serious, it's something that I am very, very forgiving and redemptive. And I know, like you were saying, like you have these relationships and you've gone through all these things with people. I don't necessarily want to erase those things. Like that's my life, you know?
Same.
Like,
I'm right there with you on that.
It's hard to like look back and say, oh, I spent the better part of 4 years with this human and now I can't even reminisce about so many great times.
You can reminisce.
No. We started the show.
No, not with him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't, like, we can't like share. I can't like,
oh no, I didn't say together reminiscing. I mean, internally in my mind.
No, but like, I would like to, like, it makes me happy when I,
oh, you want to like do it in person
or just like, you know, my ex-boyfriend, two boyfriends ago, like we spent 6 years together. We went to tons
of
shows.
What I was going to bring up. You were with a guy for a really long time there for a bit. When we started this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had two boyfriends when we started this show.
Yeah, we had two. You want to be, okay. You want to be in communion with.
I mean, no, I don't want to be in communion. I want to be like, if the iPhone decides that it's going to
send you a reminder,
a video of what I did last year at this time. And it's like, I was in a hurricane with this guy that I used to love. I would love to send that to him and go, oh, look at that. That was cute. Really? Nothing else. Like, I don't really still like you anymore. Like, but we're like, we shared a time together.
Cause I'm really curious to why you would want to do that. I'm for real. Because
that person was a part of my life and that was a memory. I mean, all my memories for 4 years are with someone that I cannot communicate with. It feels very, it's a weird, deep severing that I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't
like it. Okay.
I want to feel like everything, like we are not together. We have parted ways amicably and we can still acknowledge that we were together and that we did share our lives
together. But there is an acknowledgement. It is personally.
Well, there's not
inside.
Really. Yeah. But it's an ick. You know what I mean? Because we don't get along. It's an icky acknowledgement. Like I don't want that. I want the ick to be gone.
You know, I'm hearing the undefined solar plexus and solar plexus definition between you two. And I fall a little bit more into the camp of Jasmine. Like, I can't have bad blood somewhere. Like,
I don't like it.
I don't like bad blood either.
Feeling for me. Like, otherwise, yeah. I've also never really been in a situation, though. Well, you know, I don't know. I just told you I had this ex who cheated on me. But in my world, I was like, but he was going through things.
Right,
his
me
mom
too.
Died. You know, I can hold a lot of compassion for the other. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, if I've got nasty feelings towards someone, it's going to make me sick. It's going to make me unwell. So
me
it's
too.
Not
like,
it's,
if talking about it makes me feel sick right now. Like, I don't like it.
So does it? Can I ask a question, though? Because I'm really curious now. Like, why do you need to have this energetic space holding for them?
It's not that at all.
Because that's what it seems like for me.
No, I'll explain it to you. The energetic space that is being held, that is with the like negativity, is the part that I want to go away. I want there to be no energetic space. Like, I want there to be no energetic.
So why can't it just go away then?
Well, fuck if I know. Like,
that's what I'm saying. I think that's what I'm asking is, like, it feels like the negativity, like, why is that there? Why does it have to be, oh, I wish we could coexist?
Because we don't. I mean,
you don't have to.
Well, I do. Well,
that's what I'm asking. Why do you need to?
Well, because I live in a 2x4 mile island that is tiny. Yeah. I mean, I see this human when he's in town. I see him 10 times a day. I mean, I see him everywhere.
Okay.
I go, he's friends with all my
and
friends.
I want to speak to this. Okay. It doesn't feel good to live somewhere and this fear of bumping into someone.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to see them and it's going to be really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So you want it.
I agree.
You want it to, otherwise you're going to avoid and you're going to hermit and you're losing this aspect of your life. It's like, no, I just want to live my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I want us to be at this place where we had this relationship. We loved each other.
Yeah.
It didn't work out. And sometimes we leave that relationship and we're nasty to each other. So that becomes hard. You know, I would always want to leave in that, like, I wish you well. Like Jasmine was saying before, you know, tit for tat, you cheat on me, I'm cheating on you with more people.
Yeah.
If in that, I can understand that. And I think there was aspects of that to my nature, but ultimately I think I really would. And I've actually said this before on this show. So pardonnez-moi for repeating myself, but I don't want to get to that point where we're nasty to each other,
right?
Because I will absolutely destroy you.
Yes.
And I don't like that version of myself.
Me
like,
either.
Oh, my God. Words you nailed it. Will yes. be absolute weapons. And I don't want to leave that with you, you know? So
I totally understand that now, Jasmine, thinking about my yeah. situation mm-hmm. and living in the same city. Mm-hmm. But now I'm thinking about, imagine if we lived in, thinking about the scale.
If you were neighbors.
Right. If we lived in the same building.
Yeah.
You're absolutely yeah. oh, right. Yeah. So I do understand now that there is a,
I can't avoid it.
Me and this person, we live in the same city. There is a high chance that I will never see him again just because that's, we live, even yeah. though we live only 20 minutes away, he
yeah.
lives in a completely different area. He does not have to come where I live. I don't have to come where he lives. If we run into each other, it's literally like the universe pushing us together.
Right. And if I, yeah, if we run into each other, I just like walked out of my house.
Yeah.
yeah. And what it's like exactly what Vanessa was saying. Like, if
Jasmine,
he,
that would be really hard. I just want to take a yes, moment. Like,
I will say yeah. that that's hard. That is
the
hard.
The fact that yes. you could bump into somebody who there is this animosity or grief between, and you could just mm-hmm. be trying to get your regular bag of lemons. That's challenging, Jasmine. Yeah.
No, I will agree. That is challenging.
You're always kind of bracing, you know?
Yeah,
and
you
that's
are.
That's hard, Jasmine.
And he's a volatile person.
Right.
So, and I'm a person who's like, I'm going to chest bump you. And because if I do go there, it's going to be bad.
I'm going to obliterate you.
Or
correct. I'm going to ruin your life. Exactly.
We both have a defined heart. So
let me wrangle us in here for a minute because
yeah, we talked too long.
The passion is overflowing and we, you know,
I would run over him really with a bike. I guess
Casey Brown, sit
sorry.
Down. We have not heard from the vessel of love.
Sorry,
she's
Rachel.
Sitting here quiet. She's laughing at us like we're a bunch of fools. Rachel, original question. Can you stay friends with an ex, in your opinion?
I was really thinking as you guys were talking. I have personally done that. But I will say that I think some of them were people that I maybe loved or cared about, but I was never in love with.
Oh, whoa, great distinction.
Or it continued past the end of the relationship that ended for various reasons, but it could not continue once one of us was serious with somebody else because we were kind of just doing that placeholder mm-hmm. thing for each other in the time in between, which was fine. But now, no, I mean, I didn't really have connections with anybody I dated before. Whereas yeah. previously I did have all of these people that were still around me because I hadn't met somebody that I really was committed to. So I think you can be friends, but I do. Yeah. I don't know. It just depends on like the vibes of what happened and how you connected and how you felt about each other.
Now, you're such a little sweetie pie, but you're also a third line in the body. So was there any shitty things you did in a relationship?
Oh, many, many.
Can you give us an example of one?
I mean, I could be really mean. Like I could. If
I don't believe it. I refuse yeah. to believe it, Rachel. It doesn't have a mean bone in her body.
Well,
she's like, yeah, well.
That's what people say about me. My dad said that about me recently. And I said, I don't know that that's true. I just choose not to.
Vessel of love.
Use them. But like I could like eviscerate someone verbally. Like I'm a Virgo. Like I could tear people apart. Yeah. I don't think a lot about past relationships anymore. Like that chapter of my life kind of feels like a different life in a way. But something that I do still think about is just a mistake that I made. And I think a lot of people, mostly women, but a lot of people make is when like falling in love with someone and wanting to spend time with them does not necessarily mean that you want the same relationship or have the same desire out of that connection. And I think a lot of us go into it. I know I did, assuming that if this person likes me, they want this thing. And I had been sort of the person on the side of like assuming. And then when that person did not behave in the way that I expected, it was like, well, they're a bad person. They don't care about me. They will never be successful in a relationship. Just I thought all these really terrible things about them. But then I was actually on the other side of that in the last relationship that I had before I started dating the person that I'm married to now, where I knew that we weren't like a good long-term fit, but I really like loved him. I think in some ways I was like in love with him. And I loved spending time with him. And I still think about him because he's just a really a good person and an important person in my life. But I didn't want to commit to him in that way. And so it really screwed with him. I think part of the reason that he was so obsessed with me was because I wouldn't commit to him. So
totally,
like,
totally.
Had I
had one of those
like,
two. Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, yeah, I want to marry you. He would have been, I know that he would have been, would have pushed me away on some level. Yeah, I just adios. Know him. But I think because I was like in this place of just, no, I really don't think this is like a good long-term fit. Religion was one of the things. There were just so many different things that would not have made it a good fit. And I, at that point, I was just very cool about all of that for whatever reason through all the experiences I'd had. And yeah, he was accusing me like, you don't care about me. Like, you're just a bad person. Like, you're a player. You
I can't imagine anyone saying this to you. Oh, my God.
Like, you you're an entitled white girl. You are
Wow. He went for you.
Yeah. Like, you want to have your cake and eat it too. All of these things where like really both of us were fully consensual in this relationship, but he was a Pisces. And so I think he came into it with those delusions, delusions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We're like, all of our flags are rosy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like I had to be like, you're a Pisces. You need to like, you need to think about this rationally. But yeah. So that being on the other side of that made me look back at a lot of relationships I'd had and realize, oh, wow, these people did care about me. They did genuinely enjoy the time we spent together. It wasn't all like a lie just because I didn't want to commit to me in this certain way that I thought was like the proper way to do that. So I think that's just been one of the biggest like love lessons I've received that I still reflect on, because once I experienced the opposite side of that, I was like, oh, yeah, these things are a lot more complicated than we think. And there's a lot of people where maybe they aren't ready to commit in that way, but that doesn't mean they don't care about you or don't love you. So if you're looking for that commitment, it's very important to put that out there.
Yeah.
And make that very, have that clear conversation about what the other person's looking for.
I want to share something shitty that I did. I want to share a shitty thing I did to one of my ex-boyfriends. He was definitely more into me than I was into him. Okay. Like, he was pursuing me. I still feel like I got tricked in this whole relationship with him. Like, suddenly we were dating. I was like, what the heck happened here?
Correct.
And we had been in a band together, you know, and he was really like wanting to get together. And I was like, nah. And then he just like showed up at my place one day. He's like, we're going to a movie. And he was old. He was quite a few years older than me. So I kind of got swept away in him being older, to be honest. And I was then going to college. And I was like, I'm going to meet someone, like, you know, and this guy, this boyfriend has such an influence on my life because like he taught me tennis, which is something I'm like really into now. He was really into certain health things. I feel like this guy was also a projector. Okay. I feel like this guy was a projector. But I remember I was just like, I am fucking over you. You are pissing me off. Like, stop trying to control me. And it was back on MSN and I just blocked him on MSN. This was before ghosting was a thing. And I remember he would come online and I'd be like, oh, there he is. But he was blocked and he couldn't see I was there. And I'd be like, ugh. Like 2 weeks went by. Like, and I don't think we even had like a cell phone, maybe. I don't know. Or he didn't have a cell phone. That's what it was. And I was like, how can you not have a cell phone? You're such a loser. Anyway. it was two Libras together and it was a nightmare, actually. Anyway, I unblocked him one day in a bold moment. And he was like, there she is, been looking for you. Like, could you imagine not talking to your boyfriend or girlfriend for 2 weeks? Like, okay, no. Anyway. And I was just like, I'm not into this. This is done. That's what I fucking messaged him on MSN. Like after two, I still feel a little bit shameful about that. And then, okay, some years go by and he's like the best guitarist I know. Okay. And I had to go do some kind of gig. And I was like, hi, I'm looking for a lead guy to do this gig with me. It's a solo show. I'm taking all the songs. I'm rearranging the genre they're in. So like this country song's going to be folky bluesy. Like, do you want to do it? Because I was like trying to play into what he would like. And he was so into it. And he was so kind and so not awkward and just so charming. And I felt even worse about how I treated him, you know. And he was totally over it. Didn't care. Was like, he was a little bit older. So he was just like on his own path. But I acted like such a child. And in that relationship, I realized like he made me feel like a kid. Like he made me feel like a brat, and the way he would treat me and talk to me, which is totally what I needed. Someone to like put me in my fucking place. But I behaved like a total dick. I really did. And I don't feel proud about it. But when I made these little mistakes at the time, like I thought I was very right and entitled. Like I was like, he's being way too controlling. And then, you know, you grow up and you reflect and you're like, oh God, I was the asshole there. That sucks a little bit for me, you know, not proud. AC, I noticed you've been silent on when we reflect on our not things we're not so proud of or the things we maybe did early in our relationships. Do you happen to have an example of, you know, looking back at yourself and being like, I don't know that I should have done that.
Just one instance?
Oh, I'm shocked. Well, I would love to hear.
Yeah, I was in my early 20s and he wasn't like responding to my texts. So I showed up at his job.
Oh.
That's all.
Oh.
That's all.
What happened? What happened when you showed up there?
He was shocked. And I just waited there very silently until he was done. And he still wouldn't talk to me.
What the hell?
He stole my iPod. Yeah, exactly. He stole my iPod.
Wait, so you're there and he's like ignoring you?
No, he was just like, just trying to brush me off anyway. Like, and then he went on and then I never spoke to him. And then he did reach out to me like months later, apologizing and stuff like that. But that was the only time. It was the only time.
I've had few boyfriends reach out and apologize, and I'm realizing maybe that's like not the norm.
It's not the norm. No, that doesn't happen. Yeah.
Jasmine's like, wait.
Oh, no.
Wait, I would love for this to happen.
No.
Have any of you ever reached back out?
Hail to the no. Once we break up, I don't find, well, one of my exes, because when we broke up, we were living together, mostly because he wanted to see Betty. Sometimes like, oh, can you bring Betty by?
Oh, right. When you have a fucking dog together, that's a complicated whole other thing.
You know, I took Betty. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll bring her by or whatever. Because we lived in the same building. Because at the time we had just signed our lease and we broke up like a month after. And the property manager was so nice. And she's like, I'll let you break your lease, but you both have the rent here pretty much. So I never saw him. Because he lived on a different side of the building.
Oh my God, you had to live in the same building? That is fucked.
It wasn't bad. He's the one ex who like associate kind of acquaintance. Yeah. Like, but I would, and this is sad to say, in my adult relationships, knowing what love is due to my healing work, my healing journey and things like that, I don't ever think that I've experienced true love from the people who I've been in a relationship with.
That's deep.
Yeah. So
how do you feel about that?
It's fucked up, but it's fucked up from a trauma perspective. Like my life, I've never experienced true love and care from a romantic relationship. In the way that I know that it exists from a healed perspective, I thought what I had was love and care based off of what I know, but that was not. So, yeah, but I would say young love, like my first, there was lovely feelings, but it wasn't love. You know, it was teenage stuff, but I think it had opportunity to be love.
I think you can be in love when you're young.
Yeah. Well, I will say that was probably the purest form, like my first, even though the breakup and then us getting back together, even my college sweetheart, there was a genuine love there. But then after that, it was just like,
I do wonder, though, if kind of societal or culturally, I'm not sure, we kind of brush off young love a little bit too much, like, oh, they're young, whatever. I think it is really one of the most important experiences, like who your first that first person is when you're young and you're figuring out your body and their body and fucking feelings, like, oh my God, you know, like
it's a truth. It's a true essence of you.
Jasmine, are any of your daughters dating?
No.
Oh man, that'll be weird, eh? Oh my God. Oh my God. No. Oh my God.
I mean, I'm like, when do it?
Come
like,
on. Let's
get on it, you know, like, but you know, we have a lot of talks about that kind of stuff and they're kind of like the older two are just like, you know, we really want to get to know ourselves and
kids
hang out
are
with
so
friends.
Cool nowadays. My God.
I know. And I'm like, it's so great. Like nobody, and they have such great standards. Like literally, AC, when you were talking about how you grew up with your mom, my kids are kind of like your mom. Mm. They're to me.
Mm.
They're like, get your shit together. Don't be crying over any boys. What's wrong with you? Like, ooh. We don't. And I'm like, no, I'm sad. I have feelings. I have emotions. They're like, no, like, don't do any of that. They have a whole different, they are not Piscean. They are very like, this is like, you have a high standard. You do not like let these fools ruin anything about your life. Like
next generation's so
like,
cool.
Yeah. It's wild to me. And I'm like, no, but don't you just want to like, you know,
it's
like,
it's not
just
realistic though. Cause I see a lot of that on TikTok and I'm like,
I know
it's not real.
Wait, what's not real?
What part of it?
The bypassing of the grieving, of the sadness, of the emotions. Like, well, they people just are literally trying to, not your daughters.
Yeah, they're just like, we're not doing
the TikTok people are
I
like,
I tell them, I say, listen,
tighten up, toughen up. And it's really? Just like, that's not real life. Yes, it's very toxic.
One, I do think that's toxic, like going too far down that rabbit hole. But I do also think that
depends. Some people are soupy messes, you know, and it's like, hey, come on, get up.
Exactly. Like your feelings are not like, just because you get like all like tangled up, like all these like hormones and all the shit, you don't have to like live in that space. Like you don't have, you know,
correct.
There's times when I'm like, you know what? You're right. I just need to tighten up, you know, like I need to get it together.
Times in a space, but it's not completely like negating it.
No, I mean, it's true. Like, but, and also sometimes you're like, why am I even feeling this way about this person? It might just be like some old shit from a different thing. So it's good to like take a look at it and like see where you're coming from. But yeah, my girls don't play. They don't play with me. They're tough. I don't even know what the word would be, but like little taskmasters when it comes to love, and they don't approve of anybody.
Well, on the note of exes, I love seeing where my exes ended up. I'm like, what their life is now and who they're married to or what the kids are like.
You're so fucked up. I'm sorry. That
I kind of like that too. It doesn't bother me.
You know what? You have this love with someone and like, I find them always still rooting for anyone I ever dated. Like I actually don't have any experiences where there's ill will. I it's all like good feelings with anybody I've ever dated. And one of them came back in our life as, you know, as I started dating Derek, they were still friends. And so he kind of came back and it was neat to see his journey and you know what I mean? Like, and again, you dated when you were kids and now we're adults and it's like, you can see how some of their traumas affected them or, you know what I mean? And it's just, I think it's fascinating. And I like to go check and spy, but no, I don't really anymore. And I'm at this point in my own relationship where I kind of get in my own little bubble of my little family, what my kid needs me to do. And da, 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 da. But when the opportunities come up and you like see someone you did love, like I don't personally find the love really goes away per se. It just kind of changes. And I find I still feel like happy when I see them doing something cool or traveling somewhere new or having a big achievement. I'm like, fuck yeah. Like I'm always still kind of rooting for them a little bit.
You, me,
we're in this together.
Let's listen to each other.
You're listening to Each Other, a human design-centered podcast featuring an ensemble of energy types.
This was a 6-2 studio production. Find us at six-two.studio for all your creative sound needs.